We face a great many challenges in this life. You see, we go through life trying to avoid some of the things that we might not like. We try to avoid the bad. You know, life is about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we try to avoid the bad, and we want to enjoy the good that life has to offer to each and every one of us. Now, there are some things that life would throw at you that you cannot avoid. Things that are inevitable. For instance, I just had one of those this week. You know, the van broke down. You and I don't plan for a car to break down, do we? You don't plan for you to get sick. You go to Florida, you go on a flight, and all of a sudden the screen says cancel or delay. Unavoidable. What did you do in that situation? Things that are out of your control. That's what I'm talking about. There are so many things inevitable that you and I we had to wrestle with, because the fact that you live on this earth, you will face unavoidable circumstances and situations. They just happen. They just happen to come to you to rock your world. You know, I'm telling you, even when you get out of this room, there might be something that happened that you did not plan for. We don't plan for those things. I mean, we have an example. Getting sick, waiting for the test results. You just went to the doctor and you're waiting to hear what he or she has to tell you, and you prepare yourself for the news. A sudden death of a loved one. You never planned for that. In fact, we're not planning to die. You know, most people, you know, that you don't plan for that. Sometimes it happened. How about a broken relationship? You know, mom, the husband or the wife left, all of a sudden you did not see that one coming. You see, my friends, you and I are not exempt from experiencing these things happening to us. The inevitable, the unavoidable coming to us. The question that I want to wrestle with this morning is, how do you and I prepare ourselves to face the unavoidable? How do we prepare ourselves to face things that are inevitable in life? How do you face the inescapable? Because they're coming. You see, everyone will respond differently to those challenges, to those scenarios. Here's how a king of Judah responded when he was also faced with the unavoidable, the inevitable. How did King Jehoshaphat respond? And we can learn so much so that we can prepare ourselves to face the inescapable. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, who was this man? King Jehoshaphat. He was the fourth king of Judah. I didn't say that first, the king of Israel, Judah, because during the time that he was king, the kingdom of Israel was divided in two. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom. And God sent prophets to both kingdoms. Some prophets went to the northern kingdom, capital Samaria, the kingdom of Israel. Or people would go to the kingdom of Judah, where the capital was Jerusalem. So King Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of the kingdom of Judah. Now, the Bible talks about that he was a good king. Occasionally, you read in the Bible certain kings, certain names, and you see that they were good or that they were really bad. King Jehoshaphat, he was good because he brought people back to serving God, to worshiping the Lord. Some kings were going far away from God. This king is bringing the nation. Imagine, you're in charge of a nation. You're bringing the nation back to worshiping Yahweh. You can read all about him in 2 Chronicles 19:4. He also appointed judges in the land. And he told them, when you judge people, you got to do it with justice. You got to represent God in a manner that he's worth honoring him. So, you see, everything was going well with this king, his kingdom. The Lord is blessing him. And out of nowhere, here comes the inevitable. Here comes something that, you know, he did not see it coming. That's what I'm going to get your attention to. Chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There were three nations coming to wage war against them. Three nations. Three against one. Statistically speaking, you know you cannot win the battle.
Even two against one. So after this, just after he appointed judges and, you know, things were going well, there was peace in the land during the time of Jehoshaphat. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them, the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gerar." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Do you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, and sore and judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O Lord, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Imagine that, out of nowhere, after the kingdom is enjoying peace and security, three nations were coming against the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. And you hear the names, and it's almost like you hear about the word, the Muslim Al-Qaeda and some of those, terrorist groups. It's like, wow, there's Ammonites and Moabites. And they're coming against the kingdom of Judah. Three nations and the Meunites. So they came and somebody brought the news to the king. A vast army is coming against you from Edom. And they're already close. And I had a map. You probably saw where the location is that we're talking about. Sometimes those maps will help you. So they were already in Gerar. So you see Jerusalem right there. So they were near. They were near the king. So three against one. Right, you know how it is when everything is going well, all of a sudden somebody throws you a curveball or there's a hook coming out of nowhere, inevitable. You did not plan for that, you were enjoying life, and all of a sudden, like, we are at war. They're gonna come and they're not gonna come to talk to us. They come to wage war against us. We can probably handle one nation, but there's three nations coming against us. What are we going to do? How do you face the inevitable? What did Jehoshaphat did? You see, now it was obvious. He was afraid. You know how it is. Sometimes you faced with things that it shakes. Those things will shake you to your core, and you do not know what to do. You run out of resources. We run out of intelligence. We don't even know how we're gonna cooperate. How we're gonna deal with this situation. The Bible says he was terrified, but he did the best thing you can do when you're afraid. This king did the best thing that you and I can do when you're clueless, when you face fear. What is it that he did? He saw the Lord. He proclaimed a fast. Look at verse 4. He proclaimed a fast throughout the kingdom of Judah. And all the people, the nation, they came together to seek the Lord for help. Because, you know, this is like, Lord, this is beyond us. We don't know what to do. And then you see the king praying to God. And I love his prayer. Because he's reminding himself that, yes, Lord God, you're bigger than anything that we can possibly face. Look at verse 6. Verse 5 says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. O Lord our God, Father, God of our fathers, God of our ancestors, are you not God? I mean, he knows that he is. It's like, aren't you God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the world. Power and might are in your hands. You see, by saying this, Jehoshaphat is acknowledging his trust and faith in God, knowing that he's bigger than any kingdoms. You're the one who rules over this kingdom, and now we're facing three. Three are coming against us. But we recognize that power and might are in your hands. Look at verse 7 through following. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, and the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land? Did you? Lord God, aren't you God? Did you not do those things? They all knew how the Lord gave the land of Canaan to the Israelites as a possession. And it wasn't easy. They had to do a lot of fighting. The Lord said, it's yours. But the Israelites needed to go and take possession of that. But they all recognized that those battles that they fought, it was Yahweh, it was the Lord guiding them. And this king now, many years later, after the Israelites had taken possession, said, did you not do that for us? That's all in the prayer that he's uttering to the Lord. Did you not drive out the nations and give us this land? And you people Israel have lived in this land securely because you allowed them to. Jehoshaphat knew that God had acted on behalf of Israel throughout their past. God was the one responsible for the victories that they had. He was the one responsible for they to take possession of the land, the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey that he told Abraham many, many years ago. It's like almost saying, God, did you not do all those things for us? And now look at what we're dealing with. Look at what's coming. You see, Jehoshaphat presented the situation to the Lord, verse 10 through 12. And then look at what he says in verse 12. After he's presenting, he says, hey, now they're coming. People of Moab and Seir, they're coming against us after, you know, you gave them an opportunity. And now they want to get us out of your possession. Look at what he says in verse 12. Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with the little ones, their wives, and the children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed of this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. I love that because I don't know if you were to do a study, how many times the word, the Lord will be with you appears. I mean, I maybe I had to do a homework and just, I mean, so many times to Joshua, I be with you. The Lord will be with you. And now we're facing these armies are coming. And if we let them, if they come, we will have a nation. Jehoshaphat said, you know, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Lord, will you not judge them? See how they're repaying us, he says. They intend to drive us out of our very place that you have selected for us. We do not know what to do about this vast army that is coming against us, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat knew that only God could deliver them from this situation. There's no way that you can. You don't have time to recruit people. You don't have a big enough army, a big enough resources to deal with the situation that is at hand right now. Inevitable. They're coming. Unavoidable. It's inescapable. What are you going to do? So he comes before the Lord in prayer and says, Lord, it's coming. We don't know what to do, but guess what we're going to do? We're going to keep our eyes on you. We're going to keep our focus on you. You know, I don't know about you, my friend. This is hard to do when we are faced with the inevitable, unavoidable. Like, how can you keep your eyes on Jesus when you know that thing is going to come here any moment? And you don't have the resources. You don't have the time and the patience, nothing to be able to get out of that situation. Only by the power of God. And that's what he's saying. Lord, aren't you God in heaven? Didn't you do those things for us? Please execute judgment on them. You see how they're repaying us. They want to kick us out of your land. Lord, we're clueless. We're helpless, hopeless. But our eyes are on you. When you don't know what to do, when this king did not know what to do, he did the right thing. He looked to the Lord. And I think you and I can learn so much. When we do not know what to do, keep your focus, keep your eyes on Jesus. Whatever situation you find ourselves in, you and I must never forget that our God knows our present situation. He knows our past. He knows our future. He knows the outcome of that situation. Because he was the God of the past, the present, he will continue to be the God of the present and also God of the future. So when we don't know the outcome, we know the one that can hold the key to how this whole situation is going to unfold. And I think just like Jehoshaphat, praying to God. I mean, when you don't have anything else to do, pray. Pray about it. Ask God. Come before him. Say, Lord, we're helpless. I love it that the whole nation of Judah, they humble themselves before the Lord. When I read that, it's also in the book of Chronicles. You remember that the passage that said, my people who is known by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. This king humbling himself in the house of the Lord, in the temple, with the whole nation praying to God for help. The whole nation, and I love the men, women, children, they all gathered together to seek the Lord. To bring their plea to the Lord. And I love it because God answered their prayer right there. I mean, they were not done worshiping yet and praying. And the Lord, through a prophet, sent them a word. Through the prophet Jahaziel. And it's interesting, that name means God sees. Jahaziel, God sees. So he sees what's happening. He sees your situation. That's what Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do, Lord, but my eyes are on you. You are the only one who can save us from this situation. And the Lord answered. We love those moments when God answered the prayer right there. You're not even done praying, and, you know, right there's the answer of the prayer. Look at what he says. Verse 14 through following. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, thus says, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come They will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Now, do you notice that? Still say, you're going to go out and fight them. God could have said, just stay home. Don't do anything. Just stay there. I take care of that. No, no. Go out and meet them. But you will not need to fight. Just watch the salvation of the Lord. So you say, you still got to go and face that. The inevitable is coming. Go out and fight it. How? With courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. It's almost saying, because the one that's with you is greater than those armies that you're seeing right there. You're looking at the thing through your perspective, through your worldview, through your eyes. And yes, it seems bigger. But when you look at the situation through the eyes of God, there's nothing bigger in this world that can match our Creator. And I think we need to keep that in mind. Whatever it is that we're facing, be it coronavirus, doesn't matter what it is, that comes our way, our God is bigger. And He's more powerful. And so he says, go face Him, go against them, but you will not need to fight. I take care of that. But you see, they still had to go, as if they're going to engage in battle. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. How many times you hear that through the Bible? To David in 1 Samuel 17, you hear the battle doesn't belong to me. God is going to fight your battles. March against them. Go face them. Go face the unavoidable. Go face the inevitable. Those things that you did not plan for. Go face them with courage, because the battle is God's. You wouldn't have to fight in this. And then I love, stand firm. Hold your position. It's almost like, do not panic. Do not be, don't go around running like a chicken without a head. And just like, stand still. Hold your position, because the one that got you now is way bigger than the Moabites and Jebusites and all those ites that might come my way. I love it. You know, after Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel heard the words from the prophet, this is what the Lord says. I got you. They worshiped. Look at this following verse. Verse 18 through 19. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. I don't know if you caught this. The Lord has not even given them victory yet. What did they do? They worshiped. How can we learn to worship God even when we don't see the response yet? The Lord has not even, just the fact that the prophet said, the Lord said He got you. The Lord said you will not need to fight. The king, picture, he went to the ground. He humbled himself with a face to the ground and all Judah with him, and they worship. And now we get those people you hear about, the Kohathites and Korahites. There were worship leaders in those days. There are many of the Psalms written by those people, sons of Asaph. And now we're going to have a worship service. A worship service when this army is coming towards you? You're going to worship the Lord when they can be here any moment. And the Lord just told me, go face Him. They fell to worship. The idea of bowing down, you're worshiping the Lord. How can you and I learn to worship God when in the midst of the inevitable, the unavoidable, the inescapable, that we can still worship God? That's going to require a lot of discipline for us to allow. You know who did that? Job. Remember Job? Even the wife said, just, what are you doing, man? Curse God and die. He said, the Lord gave it to me. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Worshiping God, and God has not even given me the victory yet, but I'm hanging on to His word that He said that we will not have to fight. I praise You. I worship You. I praise You in the storm. They praise the Lord with loud voice. Let me just read some more here when it says, verse 19, and the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Translation? This is the loudest worship service you've ever been to. Like they're just going crazy, praising the Lord. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. What are they going out? They're going to go face that army that's coming against them. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. As they went before the army and said, this is the song that they sang. We have sung this song here. They said, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, because the everlasting love endures forever. And when they began to sing, I love this. Verse 32, I think you all should memorize this. So that when you're faced with inevitable. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy themselves. We got to make a movie of this text. It's one of action movie. So those three nations, two went against the other one. They destroyed themselves. Who did that? God. Literally, Israel, Judah didn't have to fight. When you read the whole text later on, by the time they got to the point where the army was, all they saw was dead people. And I don't know if you knew this, but you read, I mean, it's a beautiful story, you know, that happened during the reign of Jehoshaphat. When they got there, you know what the Lord blessed them with? The spoil. The booty of, you know, everything that they had there. You know how long it took them to carry everything back to Jerusalem? 3 days. Gold, silver. I mean, it's like the Lord blessed them. I mean, they killed each other, those enemies, and we just got to go and get the spoil. It's like, we're taking home now. How the Lord blessed them. But while they were worshiping the Lord, while they began to sing, God was already fighting their battle. They praised the God of Israel with loud voice. They worshiped God and God had not even given them victory. They worshiped in the midst of the difficulties. And when I read that, I want that to be my legacy, that whatever difficulty comes my way, that I can still learn to worship God. Even when I do not understand, even when I'm clueless about what I'm going to do, when we run out of resources, that I can learn just like these people did, Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, and I'm going to still worship you in a loud voice because I'm hanging on to your promises. They worship because they trusted God's word. They believe the Lord and what the Lord had already said through the prophet. That's why King Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord and you will be upheld. You will be established. Believe in his prophets and you will be successful. How many of us take this posture of worship when we are faced with difficult times? Can you and I learn to worship in the midst of the storm? Can you and I learn to worship God? I mean, just unrestrained worship. I mean, you're lost in worship. You're singing. It doesn't matter who's going to hear you. It doesn't matter whether you're in key or not. You're singing to the Lord because you say, praise be the God of Israel. Praise be the God of my salvation, because his steadfast love endures forever. And we are his people. He knows what's coming. He knows. That's why we're going to keep our eyes on him. Judah was threatened by those nations. And what they did, they worshiped. They saw the Lord in prayer. They bowed down through fasting and singing. And God answered their prayer. And they continued to worship. Believe in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will be upheld. And then they went. The Lord said, go, face him. They did. And they didn't have to fight because by the time they got there, everyone was dead. I don't know about you, my friends, but I think this is the best way to fight your battle. This is the best way to face the inevitable. You know how you do it? In his presence. The best way to fight a battle is trusting in the Lord and in worship, to worship him, even when your worship might not make sense to a lot of people. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the nations that were coming against his people. When you and I are faced with an inevitable situation, seek the Lord. When you don't know what to do, fix your eyes on him. That's one thing that you can do. Fix your eyes, your focus on God. Seek him through prayer, fasting, singing. Do not allow your situation to distract you from worshiping God. And I think that's what many of us will struggle with, that, you know, we haven't learned to worship God in the midst of the situation. And we let things distract us from worshiping God, to still praise him, even though we don't know what the outcome of tomorrow will be. We don't know how the whole thing is going to unfold. But you know what we can do? I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. Because all this that we hear, all this that we see, aren't you God in heaven? You control the nations. You're more powerful than all these things that people, you know, they're driving us nuts with. You're more powerful than that. I'm going to keep my eyes on you, and I'm going to worship you as I wait for your response, as I wait for your deliverance. My friends, let's not allow the situation that we're in distract us from worshiping him. Worship during the struggle. Worship him as you wait for his answer. Trust his word, because the battle is not yours. It is his. I love that, because all the battles that Israel faced, it wasn't really Israel who had the victory. It was God. I mean, God told people to do crazy things. Go an army of 10,000 people, and God said, you only need 300. What? That doesn't make sense. Watch me. And I think you and I, God says, be still. Watch what I'm going to do. Just, you will not need to fight. Just hold your position and look at the salvation of the Lord today. Because this battle that you think you got is mine. And he's in control. Now, do you want to experience victory within the situation you're in right now? Believe in the Lord. Believe in his word. And you will be upheld. Establish, believe his prophets, and he will bring successful to you. You're trusting him. You trust him. Your faith in the Lord will have you worshiping in ways that you never thought possible before. I think the greatest battles are won in his presence. When we spend time in his presence, then our focus get recalibrated. It's like, we're going to get victory. Even though we haven't seen the outcome, in the meantime, we're going to worship. We're going to just like give ourselves totally, fully to the worship of God as we wait for his response. Because he said, I got you. This is not your battle, it's mine. When we rest in his presence, fear will disappear. You know, anxiety, all those things will disappear, because you realize that one that, you know, all the issues that are causing the fears and anxiety, there's one way bigger than that. And he says, I got you in my hands. You will not need to fight. So rest, learn to rest in his presence as we face the unavoidable, the inevitable. Learn to worship even when you don't see the outcome yet. But we worship God as you and I wait for his return. The inevitable is going to come. And when it comes, just do like King Jehoshaphat did. Lord, I don't know what to do. You know what's happening. You know, maybe I won't be able to pay my bills next week. But my eyes are on you. When you humble yourself with that, and you just bring it all to the Lord in prayer. I mean, this nation, the whole nation fasted. And then when they heard the word of the Lord to confirm that I got you, they just lost it in worship. They were worshiping God. Says, yeah, his love endures forever. Worshiping God as they waited for God to deliver them. That's what I'm saying. I've been learning from this, just to rest in his presence, that we all going to be faced with things. But what are we going to do? Go crazy. And the Lord says, like, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed about this thing that you're going through. The battle is not yours, but me. My friends, you and I, one of the things you need to learn is just to really trust him when he says that. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's like, yeah, he said it. I remember one time in college when somebody told me, you know, because I was owing more than $7,000 and I couldn't even work. And you know, it's like, how am I going to pay my bills for the school? Like, you know, it's like $7,000 and I'm just going to become a sophomore in college. Like, and this guy just said to me, yeah, the Lord will take care of that. I mean, sounds like cliche. It's like, yeah, I know. But, you know, at that moment, I wanted to see the money. You know, it's like, show me them. I mean, yeah, it's like, to me, it's like, how is he going to take care of them? Like, really, I don't know anybody around here. Can I get a job? I mean, who's going to give? And you know, like he says, don't worry, the Lord's going to take care of that. And then he set up some camps that I would go and speak, and people just literally, I mean, my dad can tell you, I never asked for money growing up. I would shine shoes, I would do whatever because I want to have my own money. And now I have to go to camps and speak so that people give me offering, love offerings. To me, it was almost like, man, I don't want to do this. And, you know, that money will go right on the school account. And then out of nowhere, this lady one time called the school. And my friend, I don't even know this lady to this day. Many of you heard the story. She called the school, and for some reason, maybe I found grace in her sight. She told the school, whatever I owe, she would pay. And it's like, what? And you see, that happened to me. That's why my wife would tell you, I don't worry about money. I mean, we might just have to eat cereal and noodles. But it's like somewhere or another, God's going to provide because he has blessed us thus far. We are here because he brought us here, and he's not going to leave us. He's going to take us wherever it is. He's going to guide us. And at that moment, I realized, oh my goodness, I came out. I didn't have to take a student loan. I came out of school owing zero because God used some people, some of those I don't even know, to pay for my bill. Tell me that I don't worship a great God. Eh? It's like, wow, and he did it for me, and he will continue doing it. Because he said that, I guess God wanted me to finish college. I guess God wanted me to become a preacher to tell you about that today. We were getting ready for the moment like this right here in time. And it was like, and well, all I did was like, give me the address of that lady so I can write a thank you card. It's like, oh my, you know, it's like, why would you want to do that? Maybe the Lord told her to do it. And then it's like, wow, you know what I mean? But you know, at that moment, even though I'm a preacher's kid, it's like, yeah, the Lord's going to provide. I know he's going to provide, but it's almost like I needed to really internalize that thought and just trust him. Say, okay. And then the guy said, no, just sign up for school, take the classes. I said, you know, by signing up for the next semester, that means more money is going to add up to the account. I said, yeah, just go ahead and do it. I did it. And then boom, it's almost like, wow, you know, praise God because his love endures forever. So the battle, whatever it is you're facing right now, you and I don't know the outcome. Jahaziel, God sees. He sees what you're going through. And he said, hold your position. Be still. You wouldn't have to fight. I got you. All you got to do at that moment is trust me. Because the battle is not yours and mine. It's the Lord. And let's worship him as we wait for his answer, for his confirmation. Would you pray with me this morning?